So, last chapter in 2 Kings here, chapter 25. and we're going to see many things in here. And, of course, the Lord's going to point out to you so many more. So just keep those things in mind as you go through. But it says, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about, so they would besiege it, they would build forts around, so the arrows flying and all those things wouldn't hit them, and they would just get up close and then build ramps up and just break down walls and come in through. But it says that the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So Zedekiah's in the castle there, in the fortress in Jerusalem, in that place of safety, but because of the sin of the people, the Lord has said that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come. He's already prophesied it. In fact, in chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles, it talks about that, and it says that the Lord had sent a messenger to the fathers. He sent messengers to them, and he says, rising up betimes and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. It's interesting. He had compassion, and yet he was letting the city be besieged. and sometimes we don't realize the compassion of the Lord. We think it's the anger of the Lord. We think it's all these other things, but really he's having compassion because the people aren't serving him. They aren't walking after him. In fact, they're walking in a different way, but because of his compassion for his people, he lets hard things happen to them. And we have to realize that in our own lives, sometimes hard times are going to come, but it's because God has compassion on us and he wants to change our hearts and wants to bring us to a better way. And so don't get discouraged. Don't get distraught by the things that are going on in the news that you hear. Instead, be encouraged that God is still working and he loves us. And if he loves us, he has a good way for us and he wants to speak to us. But it says, isn't it crazy? He says he has compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But look and see what happens here in verse 16. He says, but they mocked the messengers. Isn't that a crazy thing? God has compassion, but the people mock the messengers that came with God's message. They mock and they laugh at him. In reality, they're laughing at God. and they despised his words and they misused his prophets, which pretty much means they beat him, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people and there was no remedy. There was no more remedy for them. It tells us in Scripture that he's not always going to strive with man, that they're going to come to that place of just realizing that they've used up all of God's grace and mercy, and when there's no more grace, then comes the wrath. And we see that that's going to happen when the rapture of the church comes too. The rapture of the church comes and people are laughing and mocking God's witnesses that are here during the tribulation period, and then God sends out his wrath. Oh, such an awful thing and an awful place to be at. And keep your heart soft, because our hearts so easily can just laugh at the things that are going on around us. We can laugh at the people that are going to be left. Instead of having a compassionate heart for them, we laugh at them. I'm glad you're getting what's due you. But folks, if we got what was due us, we'd be on the cross. And it was Jesus that went to the cross for us. We need to have his heart. And especially in the days that we're in, there's so many things going on around the world, and we can't grab a hold of all of it and think about it and process it and get it all in. We have enough trouble just taking care of our own homestead and all the things that are going on there. And so we pretty much dismiss all of that. And thank goodness we have a God who takes care of all of it, who's in control of all of it. There was no more remedy, it says. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of the sanctuary and had no compassion on young men or maiden. Look at the difference. God, it says, has compassion. The Chaldees come, they had no compassion. because they didn't know God. Oh, strange. I'd rather fall into the hands of the living God than to fall into the hands of man, David said. And that's where we need to be. Lord, I want to be in your hands. I don't want to be in man's hands because I know what man will do to me. And man is awful. We are an awful, awful group of people, aren't we? And if you think your heart is better than that, you better go back and look at it again. because we are. He had no compassion on young men or maidens and old men, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house, the treasures of the king, the princes, he brought to Babylon, and he burned down the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces, and destroyed all the goodly vessels. amazing as we see what goes on. Yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We're in 2 Kings 25, but I just went to 2 Chronicles to add to what was going on. I'm sorry. I wish you guys would catch up to me. I mean, come on. I know where I am. But that was 2 Chronicles 36. So if you want to read it again, when it'll make sense, go ahead and get there. But so in 2 Kings 25, this ninth month, the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar comes. He besieges Jerusalem. And it says, on the ninth day in the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. There was no bread. And you realize what has to happen here, what is really going on here. If there's no bread, what did God do in the wilderness wanderings for the people of Israel? 40 years, there was manna. There was that bread from heaven that came down, and he sustained them all 40 years. So what's happened? There's no God. God has gone up from the midst of his people. Oh. And it says that the city was broken up. We read about it in Chronicles, even though you weren't there with me. God was there. The city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls. And that's in Chronicles also. But what had happened, Solomon, for whatever reason, had made these walls, and it made a wall where you could get out through the walls that was around the city, not by the main gates, but he had made this place where you could get out on the side. And that's where Zedekiah and his men went, with the horses that were left, with the strong men that were left. They took off and went out from there because Nebuchadnezzar was in one part. The Chaldeans were in another part. Zedekiah tried sneaking out through the wall. They saw it, and this is what's going to happen. And so in verse 5 it says, the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king, and they brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him in the awfulness, again, of man and the awfulness of our sin. This is what sin does. It kills us. It makes us blind. It hurts us, and it brings destruction to our families. But it says they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and so then they put out his eyes. Probably a hot poker, and just poked out his eyes. An awful thing. The last thing he sees is his sons being slain. Can you imagine trying to live with that? Just an awful thing. And then they bound him with fetters. Here he is blind. He's hurting. They've just killed his sons. They bind him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Ugh. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, to Jerusalem. And he built the house of the Lord, which in the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house, burnt he with fire. So these things have happened. These things have gone on. His eyes have been burned out. In Jeremiah talks about it, In Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 3, it says this. It says, "And you shall not escape." Have I got the right one? I do. Jeremiah 34, 3, it says, "And you shall not escape out of his hand, but you shall surely be taken." So he's talking. He's got a messenger that comes from Jeremiah to Zedekiah. And this is what he says: "You shall not escape out of his hand. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. You're not going to escape, but you're going to be taken." So what does Zedekiah try and do? He tries to escape. Instead of surrendering like he should have done, like he was supposed to do, because remember, God had told him, the people of Israel, by other prophets, that if you submit to the ways of the king of Babylon, you'll stay alive. He doesn't want to do it, so his sons are killed before him. Instead of keeping them alive by doing what God said, he tries another way. "God, I don't believe that you really mean that." None of you would ever do that, would you? No. You would never say, "God, this can't be for me. It's got to be for somebody else." Marianne's sitting there and saying, "Betsy, this one's for you." And it's not a bud. It's something else. This one's for you. It's not for me. This has got to be for you. But you're not going to escape. You're going to be taken. You're going to be delivered in your hands. And your eyes shall behold the king of Babylon. This is important, so hang on to this. Your eyes are going to behold the king of Babylon. He's going to speak with your mouth, with the mouth to mouth, and you shall go to Babylon. It doesn't say anything about his eyes being taken out, does it? But what it says is you're going to speak, and you're going to be in front of the king, and you're going to see these things take place. You're going to be delivered into his hand. But look at what it says then in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13, as the Lord brings to completion. That's why we need to read the whole word of God. Because look at what it says in Ezekiel 12, verse 13. It says this: "My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in a snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, and he shall not see it, for he shall die there." Oh. And as you look at both these prophecies, you realize that both are true, but they're completely different, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Zedekiah, you're going to speak to this man, you're going to see it, and it's going to take place, and you're going to Babylon. But on your way there, your eyes are going to be taken out. Oh, and both these prophecies, even though they're completely different, both come to pass. God's word is true. And a lot of people have trouble with it. Well, it says here that his eyes were taken out. It didn't say it in Jeremiah. We got to keep reading. Sometimes you take the whole counsel of God and not just parts of it that you want to see, that you like to see. That's why your Bible should be whole. Because if you start tearing out the pages that you don't like, you aren't going to have a Bible left. You're going to have a front cover and you're going to have a back cover, and there's going to be nothing in the middle. Yeah, Patty.
What was Ezekiel?
Ezekiel 12, verse 13. And if I push the button, it might even be on the tape. I don't know. We'll see. It's not a tape anymore, though, is it? Man, I just dated myself. So back here in Kings again, we see that the Chaldeans come and Nebuchadnezzar comes and they do all these things. And notice, too, that God isn't afraid to let his house be burnt down. If man sinned, we sit here and say, "Well, God, you'll never get rid of the church because churches are important for you, God." He says, "I don't need my churches. I don't need those buildings. I don't need my temple. I have my people. I have my son who paid the price for all of you. That's what I need." Oh, he doesn't need the building. He needs the heart. And isn't that the place he always wants to go to in your life and my life? It is not to the building, to work on the building to make it more pleasing to our eyes. He goes to the heart because that's what he wants to make pleasing. He never says to a building in Scripture, "Well done, thou good and faithful building." He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the heart of the people. Doesn't care about the building. He can tear that down. And we sit there and go, Lord, you can't do without us. He goes, I am complete without any of you. And it's not to scare us, but it's just to show us how much our hearts mean to him and how much he wants our hearts rather than the things that we're holding on to. He doesn't need those things. So many people outside of the church get upset with the church, and maybe even probably some in the church get upset with tithing, get upset with, why do you have to take an offering? That's awful. And we don't take an offering at our church. We just got a box on the wall like you do here, and you give if you want to, and you don't give if you don't want to, and that's okay. God knows. God doesn't need our money, but he uses it to take our hearts to a different level, to show us how much our hearts need instruction from him all the time. Because we don't understand always why his ways are the way they are. And then he does these things and we get blown away by it. We go, God, your ways are so good. They're always right. And they always take care of us. How come you know better than we do? And then we finally go, duh. It's because you're God and we're not. That's how much we need him. He doesn't need us. We need him. And aren't you thankful that he loves us enough to want us with him? Because otherwise he wouldn't have sent Jesus. There would be no way of access for you and I without Jesus coming. How important was Jesus' coming? So important that our lives depend on it. How much is it important that Jesus comes back again for the rapture of the church and then his second coming? So much that we would come into agreement with him and walk with him and realize how much he loves us. That's a great love. I don't know about you, but I probably would not die for the governor of our land. But you know what? Jesus did. A lot of politicians, I probably would just look at and go, see you later, goodbye. Jesus looked at him and had compassion on him, just like it said in Chronicles. And I would have no compassion, but he has compassion. Do you see how much our hearts need to change still? We think we've arrived. You know, when I first got saved, after the first 5 years, I started reading. I didn't even read much of the Bible the first 5 years. I just listened to the sermons from a church that wasn't even a good church. That shows where I was. But God did a work in the midst of it, even though it wasn't a church that I would go to now. He used it. He worked in it. And so don't be upset with people who are still in denominations and churches that you don't think are going in the right way, because God can be using their hearts to be changed in those churches where they wouldn't be changed anywhere else. And he grows people. And aren't you thankful that he grew us? Because if he didn't grow us up into being teenagers, we'd still be drinking milk somewhere and sucking on a bottle. And he says, I want you to chew some good meat. I got a steak here for you that is seasoned. It's good. It's been cooked to perfection. You need this. We go, yeah. But by the time I get to it, my teeth have fallen out and I can't do anything. All I can do is suck on this thing and then spit it out. He says, but do you taste the flavor? Do you taste what I have for you? And he says what in Scripture? Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. And he's always good. And he always does good. He's doing good by taking the people out of Israel and taking them captive and taking them to Babylon. Because he's going to do a work in their hearts. We can't see that in our natural mind. But in supernatural ways, we can see how good God's wisdom is. Don't be upset with the condition of the time that you're in and the condition of the people around you and what's going on with them. Don't be upset with it. God's working. We just don't know how. So where do we go? Well, I'll get out my Visa card. I'll take care of things. Your Visa card's no good either, by the way, but hey, you go to God, you stand fast in Him, and let Him lead you, because He's what? The Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd always leads us to place of good feeding. And if you're not in good feeding, it's because you've got the wrong shepherd. Because it says that God always leads us to those places of good feeding. What does He say in Psalm 23? Green pastures. That means the grass is growing, things are good, it hasn't been trampled, there's not a drought, things are going, you're feeding well, and you're getting nourished and strengthened. That's where God is. Lord, help me to go follow You and go to those places of good feeding. And where's the feeding? It's in the Word of God. It's not in how you think or how you feel. It's in His Word. And that's where we stay. That's where we need to be. Zedekiah didn't want to do that. The people of Israel didn't want to do that. Remember, it says that he had compassion on the people, and they didn't want to believe him. It wasn't that they couldn't. They didn't want to. And sometimes that's us, isn't it? Lord, I don't want to do what I see You saying to me. Lord, I don't want to humble myself anymore. We need more humbling. So that they come, they burn down the house of the Lord, they burn down the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. They think they're okay. Isn't it amazing that the fires we saw in California, some of the houses that got burnt down were the movie stars. These great mansions. I've got it made. I'm going to show the whole world how I've got it made. And what did God do? Burned them down. What have they got now?
None.
They still got their money. They'll probably rebuild. But you know what? I think they're starting to see that we're not immune from the things that are going on. That's my prayer anyway. Lord, save them. They need saving. They're adulterers. They're adulteresses. Never mind. They're doing all that stuff. They need Jesus. That's the bottom line. Because you're slow in going through this, so we got to hurry up here. So in verse 10, it says, the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. And remember from Isaiah 60, verse 18, I think it is, that the walls are salvation and the gates are praise. So what's happening? Salvation is being broken down. God says there's no salvation in Israel, so I'm going to just let you see that there is no salvation in Israel. I'm going to break down the wall. Oh. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Amazing. You would think the rich would be able to stay there, and the famous would be able to stay there. He left the destitute of the land to stay there. God's ways are not our ways.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a genius IQ, I'll leave you in the land, and you can take care of things, and you can build things back up. Nah, He leaves the handicapped and the poor and the destitute. He says, you take care of the land. It's amazing, isn't it? God, and we think, God, I know a better way. No, you don't. Yeah.
There's a verse that I was reading the other day. It's in Isaiah 5, verse 7. It says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of His delight.
Yep. And look at what's happened to them. They've gotten rid of God, and they're in a place now where there's no garden, and there's no fruitfulness. There's nothing going on. But that's what He wants for us. He wants for us to be a garden that's well-watered and nourishing up for others around us. Because that's what gardens do, right? We eat what we want, and then we sell the rest. We give it to somebody else. I got, like Blaine, I got too many tomatoes. I'll bring them to Bible study. I'll get rid of these suckers. I've eaten tomatoes for 18 days in a row. I'm tired of tomatoes. I'll bring them to Bible study. So we get the fruit of that. But that's what well-watered gardens do. They pass out and they give out. And that's what we want. So it says then in verse 13, the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. You know what's sad about this? You see what's going on with these things. They were made of what? Brass. What were they made originally of in Exodus?
Gold.
Look at what the kingdom had done. They had gotten rid of the riches of God and instead brought in judgment from God, because brass always speaks of judgment. Gold always speaks of the presence of the Lord, the deity of God. They'd gotten rid of God, and so what did they get? They got judgment. Oh, we see it, don't we? The countries that get rid of God and his presence, they get judgment. Oh, we don't want that for our lives. But you know what? We're going to get it unless we stand fast in who he is and walk in his ways and allow him to be God over us. So they took all these things and they took them away. In verse 15, they took the fire pans and the bowls. And God mentions every single thing that was there. Every single thing that was supposed to be used for the glory of God, the enemy took away in judgment. Oh, how sad. And we think, well, we've got our riches. We've got our homes. We've got all these things. You know what? America is going to lose all those things unless we turn from our own ways, unless we repent of our ways and turn to God. The fire pans, the bowls, and the things that were such of gold and silver, and the captain of the guard took them away. The two pillars, the one sea, the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. It says the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. Cubits about 18 inches, so you can multiply it out and see how tall these things were. And the chapiter that was on it was brass, and the height of the chapiter was 3 cubits. And the wreathen work and the pomegranates upon the chapiter roundabout and all the brass like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. So all this decoration, all these things that God had put there and ordained for these things to happen, for Aholiab and Bezalel, the workers of those things that were overseeing all the bringing in of these things, were all taken away. All the wisdom that the Lord had given them was now being taken away. So not only were the riches taken away, but the wisdom, the understanding of God's ways was being taken away too. And that's a sad place for a country to get to, when they have no understanding of God, where they don't want any understanding of God, where they don't want to know what the rich way is. They want to know where the judgment way is. Should probably do a teaching on that sometime. That would be good. Thanks for the idea. Okay, so then it says the captain of the guard in verse 18 took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest and the three keepers of the door, and out of the city he took an officer. God isn't even afraid to take the priests out, because the priests don't want God either. Because if the priests wanted God, there'd still be some fruit there, wouldn't there? There'd still be good teaching. There still would be some fruitful works. But evidently, they've gone the wrong way too. And we see that in America, don't we, with some of the churches. What we're allowing into the church. What we're allowing and wanting in the church. Instead of wanting God's ways, we're putting man's ways in and saying, "It's okay, God. You'll be okay with this, won't you?" And he says, "No." And we're going to see the destruction of that as we go. It's a sad place. Pray for those churches too. They need Jesus. It says in verse 19, "And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence and were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host and the principal, the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land or counted them and had them in order and knew who they were, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city, and Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And so Judah was carried out of their land. This last deportation, remember it started in 586 and has gone through in such an awful thing that has gone on. These three deportations that they took the people of Israel out, sent them to Babylon. And so the devastation of Israel has been taking place. And then it says in verse 22, as we come to another section now, it says, "And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them made he Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler." And we see this son of Shaphan, this man, we see him in Jeremiah, as we see this go through in Jeremiah 26, verse 24, it says, "Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam," which we just read about, the son of Shaphan, "was with Jeremiah." So Jeremiah's around this time. So as you go and you tie all these things together, you realize that Jeremiah was in the midst of all of this and seeing all of this go on, in recording it and reporting it. But here is a man who walked with the Lord, and it shows me something, that even though there's saved people in the land, sometimes they're going to go through hard things that the country is going through because the country has abandoned God. Do we think just because we're Christian that we aren't going to go through some hardships? I think we have hardships coming, because the Word says that we're not going to get, the world isn't going to get any better. And you think, how could it get worse? We look at the headlines, we look at the things going on, we say, how could it get worse? Snow in Texas, snowball fights in Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I mean, come on. It can't get much worse than this. The only thing that was good was the snow was there and it wasn't here. So it's just like, okay, you can have it. You want snow? We'll give you snow. We'll send ours to you. But we see all these things going on and go, Lord, these things are happening. These things are unexpected. These things are so different. And God says, just wait till you see what I can do. Oh. The hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. What did God do for Jeremiah? He spared his life by using an ungodly man in an ungodly city, in an ungodly country, and he spared Jeremiah. And we think, God, can you be with me in the hardest of times? He says, I'll be with you even to the end. Oh. And we just thank the Lord for it. You know what, folks? As much as you have hard times right now, he's with you today. And he's not mad at you. He loves you. He just wants to show you the way that you need to go and the way that we need to be. And that's what God wants to minister to us today. That's what he wants to tell his people. And because he tells his people, it should go out to those that are around us. God is taking care of us, even though it looks awful. God is still with us. Hang on. You know, it's like going up on the roller coaster, you know, and I hate roller coasters. I can't go up anymore. It's just like my stomach, I lose my stomach halfway up. It's just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I've gone on in years, but I remember the ride up. I remember my stomach just sinking and just going worse and worse. And then it would come up and hit your throat. And you get to the top and you go, I don't want to do this. And the guy on the ride says, too bad. Drop 200 feet in a second and a half. Go ahead. Have a good time. Kill yourself. But we see those things coming, don't we? And it just tears us apart. And we realize what's coming. The downward spiral that's going to go. We go, oh Lord, help. And help the people that are on this ride. We're in for a ride. We don't know what it's going to be, but God is going to take care of us. And it's okay. And some of us are going to go home to heaven in the midst of it. We don't know when. All those people that were on those planes didn't think that yesterday was the day that they were going home. But they're there. Whatever home that is. We don't know if we're going to make it through today. But you know what? We know the God that knows. And he's going to take care of us. Don't get anxious. Just trust. Trust in what? What does it say in Scripture? Trust and
obey.
We like the trust part. We don't like the obey part. And God puts them together for us so that we learn, so that we grow. It's just so sweet. So this Shaphan back in 2 Kings here, he comes. And when all of the captains, in verse 23, of the armies and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, and the... Those guys, the other guys that are there. I can't keep going with these heights here. In verse 24, and Gedaliah swore to them and to their men and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Fear not, a message from the Lord. Even though they were going into places they had never been before, with people they had never seen before, that hated them and wanted to kill them, what does he say? He says, fear not. And isn't that what God says to us today? You're facing hard times and hard situations, and he says, fear not, trust me. I know how to bring you through. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal seed, came and 10 men with him and smote Gedaliah, that he died. Even though this man was there and he was sent by the Lord to give a message not to fear, these men feared and they got rid of him. They wanted to get rid of the messenger. Oh. Don't get rid of the message that God has for you in your word. Don't tear out those pages in your Bible. Look at them. Read them. Take them to heart. Take them as your own. And just hang on to them, because God is going to do a good work in the midst of it. You know what I always think of when I see things like that and I go, I don't want to go there, Lord, is I just see Jesus going up to Gethsemane and having Judas come. He didn't want to go. Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But then what does he say? Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. Your will, Lord, your way. Help me, Lord, to accept your way and to walk in your way. So he took men with him and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And all of the people, both great and small, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. And it came to pass in the seven and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, came in the year that it began to reign, and did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him, and he set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. And he changed his prison garb, just like it says in Isaiah that the Lord changes ours and gives us robes of righteousness. He changed his prison garb and did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. And it reminds me of a couple of things. The first one is Israel. He gave them a continual rate every day, all the days that they were walking through the wilderness. And I know there's been folks that have calculated how much food, the trainloads after trainload of food, boxcars of food that the Lord gave to Israel every single day for 40 years without fail. Remember Philip and Andrew? When the Lord says, I want to feed these people that are here before me. They haven't eaten in 3 days. What do you suggest we do? And Philip says, we only got 200 cents here. How much food are we going to buy with that? And how many people are we going to feed? And Andrew had a little bit more. He said, well, yeah, there's a kid over here with five loaves and two small fishes. But what's that? And they both gave up because they couldn't remember that God had done this for Israel for 40 years. If I can do that for 40 years without them even lifting a finger, what can I do in your life? Well, my Visa card's running out. It's maxed out right now. I can't buy anymore. Can I take care of you? Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I haven't trusted you all these years. I guess I got to trust you now because I don't have a Visa card, I don't have a bank account, I don't have a home. I guess I got to trust you.
That's the thing too, 40 years, and in spite of their behavior, he didn't take the bread.
And it also reminds me too, remember the account with David and Mephibosheth? That he took his garments, changed his garments, brought him into the king's house, his enemy's son. He brought him into the house and sat him at the table every day for the rest of his life. What does God want to do? He's got so much more. Mankind can be good, but you know what? God is even better. Who are we going to trust? Are you going to trust the one that's feeding you? Or are you going to trust the God who feeds you completely? And it certainly is an encouragement for us. It's sometimes a rebuke for us because we go the wrong ways, don't we? And sometimes we do the wrong things. But you know what? God has got a plan, and he's executing his plans in our lives. And even if we don't like it, it doesn't mean that God isn't with us and he doesn't love us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jehoiachin wasn't a good king either.
And one who's evil could do that. Think about what our God can do for us.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Keep encouraging each other. We're in days where we need encouragement, but we're in days where our God wants to encourage us. So keep encouraging each other. And the more you spread it out, because we know one day we're going to run into a depressed day. And we're going to need somebody around us to encourage us. And the more you encourage, the more you give out, the more he's going to bring back to you. So continue on that walk with the Lord. You guys are having a great walk with the Lord. Keep going. Don't stop now. Well, Lord, this thing bothers me. I'm going to stop walking with you. You know what? Don't stop. Keep going. Keep being encouraged. Your God loves you so much. If he can love me, he can love you. Come on. I mean, if you run out of things to grab a hold of and hang on to, just remember my face and say, God loves that face. He'll take care of me because mine's a lot better than his. So, Father, we're just thankful, Lord, for your love for us. We're thankful for your goodness to us. And, Lord, we look at these days and we rejoice because we're here at such a time as this to be your people, to know our God in these days, and to walk with you. Lord, help us in our walk with you to have a good walk and not to walk away from you, but to walk with you, Lord. So have your way with us, Father. We love you. We thank you. We ask for your blessing on our day. We ask for your blessing on our walk as we go through this week. And Father, meet with us as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.